It's always sort of interesting that when you go into the city, then you see sale 20%, sale 15%, and on discount. And many times when you look into such a window, then there is usually something that you might even say, well, I can use that. But then you think, well, you think a little bit more and a little bit deeper, and then you think, no, I don't really need that. But then you walk to the next store and you see something, and at first sight you think, well, I could actually use that because the other one I have might be 10 years old or and he's running out and et cetera, et cetera. So many times when you walk through life, there are so many things that try to catch your attention. But when you really see through it, then you say, no, it's not what I need. It's not what I want. And eventually you come to understand that you did not really need it after all. So you think and you question. But later you say, I did not really need that. Well, with faith, it is sometimes exactly the same. You walk through life and you see certain things and you say, hey, that's interesting. That seems valuable. That seems important. But you think it through. And you start to realize, no, it is not the most important thing. What is most important is God. What is most important is trust in God. What is most important is reliance on God. What is most important is to seek His face more. What is more important is to be more obedient to Him. What is more important, and the list goes on. And so when we look at Jesus and the people that He encountered in His life, we see also a great difference in approaches to Jesus. And this is what we want to talk about this morning. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Or, as other versions will say, who diligently seek Him. So, after all, what is the most important thing in life? We are so often distracted. We are so often placed in places where we say, well, a little bit of the world doesn't hurt, a little bit of human reasoning doesn't hurt. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that God is a rewarder and God does not lie. God cannot lie. Heaven cannot lie. Must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. And of course, the word diligence, that speaks of force. That speaks of doing something. Sometimes, even today, you come to church, and what do you see? You see some people that are fishing. Whether the weather is good, whether the weather is not good, they are fishing because they love it. And they know that if I continue to do this, whatever the circumstances, I am going to catch my fish. What else do you see? At least I often see them, those bikers or the the bicycles that go fast. Whether it's good weather, whether it's bad weather, you see them going. And that is what the word diligently entails. Whether the road is good, a sunny, beautiful day, and good roads, or whether the roads are not quite as good and it's raining, the real cyclist says, it doesn't matter, I am going. And that is what true faith is all about. Sometimes over the years, when you talk about God's plan for mankind, I've always thought, well, to be baptized is rather an easy thing to do. But then you think, well, no, because it needs to come from faith and repentance. Otherwise, it has not the validity that God has placed on it. But then you think, well, repentance, that is truly one of the hardest things to do because it means to change your mind. And even by that definition, to change your mind continually, not only at the moment that you're baptized, but continually changing your mind, going into God's direction. But then sometimes you think, well, faith, wow. Faith is also very hard because it means placing your trust in God that you cannot see. Placing your trust in God that you will never be able to see. Now we have his evidence, we have his handiwork, we have creation, so we can know that he exists, but still we cannot see him. And so maybe faith, in that light of thinking, is really quite difficult. So even when Jesus encountered people in his ministry, he sometimes talked about great faith, and he sometimes talked about little faith. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It says, when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am too a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. How beautiful is this? Jesus came to the Jews first. So he traveled around in Israel. And what was Jesus thinking that he would encounter? Great faith with all people because they had the promises. Dion, they had the ambulances. Year after year, the Passover, year after year, the Feast of Booths, year after year, everything. They would have been the one that should have said, Jesus, you are the one. We have great faith in you because you are the one that was promised in the Old Testament writings. But what happened? As we know, many of the Jews, many of his own people said, no, you're not the one. That's impossible. And then, of course, we see a centurion. By that definition, who was a Gentile. And a Gentile does not mean that you're bad, but a Gentile basically means you were out of the promises of God. God dealt with the Jews only in the Old Testament. Not that God did not deal with other nations, of course, because we see in Nineveh and other works of God that he did deal with other nations, but it was the Jews with whom he had made his special promises. And those were the people, that were the people who said, but this, but this, but this, but that, but so, but such. And here was a centurion. He came to Jesus and he said, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, I will come and heal him. And then what does the centurion say? The centurion basically said, that's not needed. You don't need to come to my home. Only say the word and he will be healed. And Jesus was almost like, what is going on here? What is this? The Israelites, but this, but this, but such, but so, but this. And the centurion, who by definition was a Gentile, said, you don't even have to come to my home. The question that we're asking this morning is, what are the details? What are the ingredients of great faith? Well, first of all, I would like to suggest great faith implies seeing your own unworthiness. What did the centurion say? Lord, I am not worthy to come for you to come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. The man said, I am not worthy. And I believe when we look at the scriptures as a whole, that's where everything starts. A good relationship with God, a great faith, starts with seeing your own unworthiness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These were what I would like to call the first recorded words of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we read through the Gospels, and we read through the epistles of the apostles. It comes back every time. Man's littleness and God's greatness. That comes back every time. And that is so powerful because really that is where it all starts. It all starts by seeing yourselves who you really are. It all starts by seeing God for whom he really is. And then what do we see when we look at it from the scriptural standpoint? Man is unworthy and God is full of worth, full of power, full of strength, full of everything that we might think and believe to what is truly important and needful for men. What does David say in Psalms chapter 8? Psalms chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. It says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. And then David says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you made him a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the work of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beast of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David says, when I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers. Can we give that just 1 hour? Can we give that 2 hours? Can we give that one day? If we would truly meditate, and with meditation I mean, let's be the cow. A cow has 4 stomachs. What happens to the food goes into the first one. The cow lays down at about noon hour. He's full. The sun is coming up. It's getting warmer. He lays down, and what happens? The food comes back up, and he chews, and he chews, and he chews, and he chews. There's a big difference between Bible reading and meditation. And brothers and sisters, and I just have to look at myself. Are we truly giving the God, the Lord, the Bible, the time that it really needs, the time that it really deserves? How much time do you spend on shopping? How much time do you spend on leisure things? How much time do you spend on holidays? How much time do you spend on your home, fixing it? How much time do you spend on your car? How much time do you spend on your hobby? And please, those things are good, of course. But God still wants to be number one. God desires to be number one. And God knows if he is number one, that things will go well with us. So can we give it 1 hour? Can we give it 2 hours? When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Isn't that wonderful? The clouds. It always amazes me when I look at my WhatsApp. It's a lot of times the people who do not believe, they come with a beautiful sunset. They come with a beautiful little animal. They come with a something of nature, something of creation. And they say, this is what I saw today. This is what I saw yesterday. Look at this fish, look at this cow, look at this, look at that. People enjoy nature. In Africa, people sit under the tree to seek shelter. If they would just think for 1 hour, for 2 hours where the tree comes from, they would be the greatest worshiper of God ever. And brothers and sisters, this is so important for us. When I look at your heavens, the work of God's fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, the moon goes around, the sun goes around, the stars, night comes, morning comes, winter comes. Is it an accident? Is it evolution? And the answer is no. The answer is God only. And of course, when David considers the greatness of God, all he can say is, "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him?" A good relationship with God starts with seeing our own unworthiness. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die forever." But Dion, you read it this morning. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. It doesn't say God saw something good in man. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can we give it 1 hour? Can we give it 2 hours? Can we give it 24 hours? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, what we deserve, but have everlasting life. Can we give it a couple of hours? But I believe that when we give it a couple of hours, we cannot stop. Because when we see the greatness and the might and the love and the purity of God, we cannot stop. When we truly taste the goodness of the Lord, when we truly taste the power of God, it will not stop us. But the question is, what kind of faith do we have? Do we have a great faith? Or do we have the little faith that Jesus also encountered? Great faith, as we just said, sees the greatness of God. Isaiah chapter 55. We could turn to many different passages. But Isaiah chapter 55 says simply this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." When I was little, my dad said a lot of things to me. And as a young boy, I was not always happy with what my dad said. Because I had to be in bed by a certain time. I had to work before I went to school. I had to work after I came from school. I had to do this. I could not do such. I better stayed away from that. When I was young, I thought, wow, limitation, 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 limitation. But now, as I'm a little bit older, I say, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's not to say this or that, but we look at this world. How many children are not raised by their fathers and their mothers? How many children do not get rules and normal, healthy discipline? And what do we see? And of course, it is not the only reason, but I believe still it is a big reason. Then is what we see happening in Spain a couple of weeks ago. That is what we see, what we read in the newspaper. And the ages are getting lower and lower and lower. In my time in the 70s, they picked up 30, 40, 50-year-olds for crime. Now they're picking up 14-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds. One of the reasons is parents are not taking their responsibility, raising their children with unconditional love, but also discipline. Back to God. God's thoughts are so much different than our thoughts, but His thoughts are just plain good. His thoughts are just plain. What Paul says, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And today I can even say, Father, thank you so much to my own physical father, but even more to my heavenly father. God is truly great, and His ways are always better. And great faith will see that every day. Small faith will always say, yes, but this, and what about that, and what about such, and what about so? Great faith says, I know whom I have believed, and He is able. That is what great faith will say. That is what the centurion said. You don't have to come to my home. You can do it from a distance. People talk about the 6 days of creation. God could have done it in 1 second. Of course, he chose 6 days for different reasons. But God could have done it in 1 split second. Great faith always sees the power of God. And Andre, you read that beautiful story in Genesis chapter 18. And of course, we're looking back. Abraham and Sarah, according to Romans chapter 4, were past the age of childbearing. But God had promised them a son. And of course, we read that in Genesis chapter 18. In verse 14, Sarah laughed. And then the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, of course, we know the outcome. We know it happened exactly the way that God said. And so there are many, many, many more stories in the Old Testament, of which Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Brothers and sisters, we are actually in a far better place than Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, they did not have all those experiences. We have the Word, and the Word is sealed. We see that all the promises came through. Great faith sees the power and the ability of God, no questions asked. That is what great faith will do. And you know what the next thing is? The next thing is peace in your heart. But actually, that was already before it, because you knew the greatness and the power of God. But that is what great faith does. It always focuses on the great power of God. There is a second story that I want to look at briefly. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs?" She said, "Yes, Lord, that's right. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Again, Jesus said, "I'm sorry, but I did not come for you. I did not come for the Canaanites in the first place. I came to my own people. I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But what did she do? She did not say, "Okay." She came, verse 25, and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." She did not take no for an answer. And he answered, "Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs?" She said, "Yes, Lord, you're right. It is true." But then she said this, "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fell from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith." I would like to suggest great faith never, never, never lets go. We read a story in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. I would love to read it, but for the sake of time, I will not do it. But there we find the story of the persistent widow. What did the persistent widow do? She did not accept no. What did she do? She kept on knocking at the door of the judge. "I need your help. I need your help. I need your help." And finally he came. Not out of a willing heart, but out of a heart that says, then she will go away. And then God says, "I'm not like that judge. But I will listen to the prayers of my children." That is what God said. "I will listen to the prayers of my children." And so what does great faith do? Great faith will never stop seeking God's face. In John chapter 6, verse 60. John chapter 6, verse 60. When many of his disciples heard him, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" And in verse 66 of that same chapter, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus spoke about things that were not always easy. Jesus spoke about things that were sometimes hard, that were sometimes confrontational, that were sometimes difficult. What is great faith? Great faith is never afraid, even of the confrontational words of Jesus. When Jesus spoke about divorce, through Malachi, he said, "I hate it." What should the true believer hate? Divorce. Is that always easy? when you are used and abused, it's not easy. But the real believer will say, what does God want? I'm not looking for an easy road, but I want to do what God wants. So true belief, great faith, is something that is not afraid of the confrontational words of God, of Jesus, of the Bible. And truly, when we look at it, in great faith, God is honored. And is that not what we're looking for? Is that not what we truly want? Is that not what God truly desires? Love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. When you're looking for a mate, when you're looking for a partner, are you looking for somebody that only does the cooking? Or that only puts out the garbage? No, you're looking for someone that is dedicated to you. You're looking for somebody that loves you. You're looking for someone that will be devoted to you. You're looking for somebody that wants to know your deepest thoughts in order to stand by you in the most best possible way. We know that from a human standpoint. And from a godly standpoint, it is no different. God says, this is the kind of people I'm looking for, who loves me with all of their heart, with all of their souls, with all of their mind, and with all of their strength. That's the only way how God is truly honored. And that is what great faith does. Great faith honors God, whether it rains, whether it shines. Great faith honors God, whatever the circumstances. Brothers and sisters, let us encourage one another with these words to go deeper into the will of God every day. Whether we are young, whether we are a little bit older, whether we are middle-aged, we all have room to grow. We all have room for greater faith. We all have room for more honor to God.